Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is June 8th, 2014.
Every day's great at your June 8th.
And this is episode 53. Pre-3, News-a-palooza, Hullabalooza.
Whoa!
Want to welcome again our lovely and beautiful listeners to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we are going to catch up on all of the hot news that is floating out there in anticipation of the annual Electronics Entertainment Expo this year. And as a very special treat for all of you out there in Internet Radio Land, you can expect this episode to go up tonight. We will have another episode up for you tomorrow night. That's Monday, June 9th, where we will discuss Microsoft's press event, Sony's press event, Electronic Arts' press event, and Ubisoft's press event. And then on Tuesday, we're going to have another episode up for you guys where we're going to talk about Nintendo's press event and Konami's press event.
Wait, Konami has a press event?
Yeah, right? It's happening in the middle of the night U.S. time.
Oh, I'll be sleeping.
Right? So today we're just going to cover the news so that there's less of that to sort of hunker us down and get in the way while we're discussing all of the cool E3 stuff. So you know what? In the interest of our time and yours, how about we get this party started? Slackkick, you want to start us off with our first follow-up?
Well, Borderlands 2 is continuing to expand its world, or whatever you want to call it. Tales from the Borderlands is going to be the next game in the Borderlands universe. This one's going to be a little different. It's going to be developed by Telltale. Of course, it's going to be an adventure game, as you would expect. It's going to be produced in an episodic manner, like all the other Telltale games.
As they tend to, yeah.
And there's no announcement on which platforms it'll be on yet, but, you know, expect it on the regulars.
You know, given Telltale, it's probably a safe bet to say it'll be on everything that isn't Nintendo.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Like, literally everything. Man, they're really expanding this universe between this and the pre-sequel.
They're just delaying so they don't have to announce Borderlands 3 yet.
You know, this is something that already happened. The free-to-play Steel Diver Subwars game for 3DS has been upgraded to version 2.0.
That's right.
This new version has new modes, it has new subs, and, you know, they actually apparently took a lot of feedback straight from Miiverse and sort of tweaked the game based on what the fans wanted.
Wow.
And, you know, something that's been kind of a running dialogue in the last year here on GameBuoy.org is that we've seen Nintendo...
Oh, GameBuoy.org.
Is that we've seen Nintendo really start listening to their fans in a way that I think people have traditionally
Imagine
really...
Imagine that.
Right? People have really traditionally said Nintendo will never be that kind of developer. But we really do see them starting to go in that direction. In other Nintendo news, and we're just going to talk about this very briefly because obviously the whole internet has already had everything they've had to say about it. Earlier in the month, last month, there was a big kerfuffle about the Nintendo game Tomodachi Life. Slackkick, if you'd like to sum up sort of what the major issue here is.
The major issue is that in their first statement from Nintendo of America, they said that they never intended to make any form of social commentary, and the social justice warriors on the internet rightfully, you know, felt that that was an inappropriate response. They said, you know, they're not going to change the same-sex relationships that were a glitch in the Japanese version. They later clarified that, you know, they're going to work to be more inclusive and that they want to consider their audience for future titles and that they will be mindful of it.
And, you know, the reason we're not going to talk about this a lot here on GameBuoy.org...
GameBuoy.org.
...is that, you know, as far as we're concerned, we've seen a lot of sort of Nintendo reaching out this year. We've seen a lot of them listening to their player base. We saw, you know, this whole controversy come up. It was a fan organization or campaign, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the hashtag MeQuality.
Exactly. Sort of demanding same-sex relationships in this game. And Nintendo did respond to them repeatedly. And I'm seeing a lot of people on the internet who feel that Nintendo hasn't done enough, that this support should have been patched into the US version. And while on some level I do agree, The reason we're not going to add fuel to the fire, frankly, is that Nintendo has already given us more on this than the vast majority of game publishers would have. And, you know, that's really where we are on it. I'm still on the fence about supporting this game because as much as I'd like to play it, I am upset about the lack of LGBT inclusion.
That's true. Although, you know, a lot of people out there are just making a, like, extra me on their 3DS that is female so that they can dress up male. Because, you know, when you make a me, you can have facial hair on a male me. I mean, a female me. So you can really pretty much do the workaround that was originally patched out. It's just, you know, you have this extra me that is a female on your 3DS.
Which is really, on the scale of things, not so bad, I feel. And so really to sum it up, the Game Buoy sort of official line is for us. You know, Nintendo maybe didn't do as much as they could have, but they did do more than most. Typically, you know, these sort of fan campaigns for same-sex equality inclusion in games, it basically gets no official response. In this case, we did get an official response, and while the first one was lackluster, the second one I felt really did speak to the fact that, you know, this is a long-running series in Japan at this point, several, you know, iterations, and, you know, I think we have every reason to believe them when they say that they will look into that kind of support in the future. And overall, we at Game Buoy accept and support that.
Indeed.
In other Nintendo news...
Smash news!
Smash news! If this keeps up, man, we're just going to have a Smash segment in this
Smash
show.
Smash Buoy.
Right? This is sort of a really weird and interesting design change. And I want to talk about it because it's really cool. Masahiro Sakurai-san, back in May, on May 21st... did an update on Miiverse, as yeah. he tends to do, if not daily, then, like, basically daily. That basically, in the future iterations of Smash Brothers, starting with Smash Brothers Wii U and Smash Brothers 3DS, we're going to have character models now mirror. Previously, you know, the game would sort of, you know, you'd have a character model, and if they were turned in one direction, you'd basically be seeing their back. Because, you know, again,
yeah,
these were 3D objects being rendered, as is typical in basically any 3D game.
Now, this is what's more typical of regular fighting games, right? Not to bash on Smash as not being a regular fighting game, but, you know, we kind of talked about in our fighting game episode that it's kind of its own little separate thing.
Yeah, well, what they're going to do now is typical for fighting games. They're going to mirror so that the characters are always facing the screen. And this will, one assumes at least, make for more dynamic, you know, shots and action and more identifiable characters because you're seeing their face and sort of the more bankable art assets, I guess you could say. And, you know, he basically did this whole post sort of detailing some of the character-specific changes they had to make, such as to Greninja's tongue scarf. Since just mirroring it, it would look really funny because it would be wrapped around the opposite side of his head.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
So they have made a lot of little tweaks to make these things work. And, you know, that's really cool. That's sort of the Smash Brothers attention to detail
there. Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it was apparently quite a tedious task rather than just, you know, sort of mirroring everything and letting it go. Not only did they mirror, but then they touched up to make it sure it still looks good.
That's great.
So I'm really excited about this. The last time I played Smash Brawl, I noticed that some of my attacks, if I was facing a different direction, would have slightly different reach.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's it's based on them not being mirrored. Because so if you're looking in the right direction, you'd end up getting, you know, just a small bit more distance on some of your punches or kicks.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like a Hadouken not going as far.
So, you know, this is really an interesting change. Things should be a little more standard across characters and among situations now. And I just, you know, overall, this is a really neat thing that they've done, sort of to change their design and the level of detail and attention going into it. To me, just really exemplifies why I'm so excited for Smash Brothers.
Indeed, and I'm sure you're also excited that Wonder Red from The Wonderful 101 is going to be an assist trophy. An assist trophy or just a trophy?
Assist trophy.
That's what I thought. And he is been revealed over Miiverse, courtesy of Sakurai-san, who, as we said, has been doing pretty much daily Smash Dojo sort of things on Miiverse. In other Smash Brothers news, you'll be able to play as the female villager from Animal Crossing. So that's good news. Not really a surprise, but good news.
And this ties in with, you know, we've talked about this a little bit here on the show, that some of the characters in Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS are going to have multiple character models, like alternate skins, rather than just the old-style Smash Brothers, where if multiple people picked the same character, you would just have, like, a different color scheme. Now it's like, oh, we have two villagers, one's going to be boy villager, one's going to be girl villager.
Yeah, which is super cool. And a lot of fans are excited that Ike is back, looking sexy as ever.
Yeah, this new character design for Ike is so effing sexy.
Yeah, really hot.
Like, I don't even care. I'm sexualizing a video game character. Like, that's a hot character design. I like it a lot. I'm really into it. And honestly, you know, I might have to pick up Ike.
Indeed. Do you want to take this one? Because this is, oh my god, news.
Yeah, this is a big deal. The Wii U is getting a GameCube controller adapter for Super Smash Bros. This is going to be a USB dongle that connects to the USB ports on the Wii U, and it just has a set of four, GameCube ports. It is going to come with a GameCube controller with the Smash Brothers logo on it, which is super awesome. And, you know, one really cool thing about this that they've talked about is that this adapter, you know, moving forward in future generations, this is just USB-based. Presumably, you're just going to be able to use this in even future consoles.
I am so excited because, like other people out there, I love the GameCube controller.
It's worth mentioning that up to this point, all we know is support for Super Smash Bros., but I have to be honest, for me personally, I would be very surprised if we didn't see GameCube Virtual Console support come out of this
right?
as well.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
I'm also excited because this is going to be a USB device. I'm sure people are going to crack it to use it on computers.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I have a really great DDR pad for GameCube that was for DDR Mario
Mix.
Yeah,
Mario Mix.
I'll be able to start using that on my computer now. You know, I have the Dolphin emulator. I'll be able to start using just GameCube controllers with it. So this is really just exciting on basically every level there it is.
Just acknowledging that Melee was the one that everyone loves, TBH.
Right? So, and last but not least on Smash Buoy here today.
Smash Buoy.
We have a really cool look at a feature on the 3DS version of Smash Brothers. And I'm sure this will also be true at least for the player using the gamepad on the Wii U version. But basically on the bottom screen, it lists all of the players that are playing in the match you're fighting in right now. And it displays the percentage that they've damaged you.
Oh, hell no.
So I'll be able to look down and be like, that bitch Sonic is beating the shit out of me. I'ma get my revenge.
Oh my god, Sonic dealt 20% damage to Mario.
Right? So, that about wraps it up for Smash Buoy.
Smash Buoy.
Slaggy McWaggy, if you'd like to take this next one.
Now, to start out, Peggle Buoy. No, we're just kidding. But Peggle 2 is now available on the 360. So those of you who do not own an Xbox One, and you do own an Xbox 360, you'll be able to get it for $12 right now here in North America. Or if you're one of our lovely and sexy European listeners, you can get it for £10 or €10, which is interesting because I didn't think that quite converted.
Yeah, I don't think it does. Anyway, we have news here about Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm Curtain Call is adding Final Fantasy IV's Rosa as a playable character, as well as Aerith's piano theme as DLC.
Cool.
In addition to that, the Japanese release of Theater Rhythm, the US release still hasn't come, also got DLC songs from Final Fantasy Dissidia, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and Final Fantasy VI. And the Final Fantasy VI song is the song Protect the Espers.
Love it!
Right?
In Hyrule Warriors news, it is going to be released this summer.
Specifically on August 14th.
Yes.
We also finally got confirmation that Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition will be coming to consoles in August.
Finally.
Right? It looks like the Reaper of Souls Ultimate Evil Edition will be hitting PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3 on August 19th. It'll be priced at $60 on the PS4 and Xbox One, and $40 on the Xbox 360 and PS3. Pre-orders will include the Infernal Pauldrons for players to equip and, you know, presumably look all badass.
Now, what I'm curious about is that if you already own the PS3 or 360 version, is there a way to use for you to be able to just upgrade to the expansion?
So, my understanding is that you can bring your character from that version of the game over, but there isn't explicitly, like, an upgrade program.
Interesting.
In other news, we finally heard something from Square Enix about bringing Dragon Quest X overseas.
Say what?
Unfortunately, that is literally all of the information that we have. Last month, during a Square Enix financial results briefing, the company discussed this game in a section titled Expansion of Overseas Businesses, primarily in Asia. They did not specify any regions for Dragon Quest X, but they did list it as under consideration for overseas businesses.
Excellent. Pokemon Art Academy is coming to Europe on July 4th and North America this fall. Some of the Pokemon included are Pikachu, Oshawott, Charizard, Fletchling, Fennekin, and Torchic. And you can also use free paint mode. You can scan in something with the 3DS camera. You can share via Miiverse. I'm really excited. I haven't played any of the Art Academies, but this will probably be a good launching point because it looks really cute.
We also have word from Bandai Namco here. You know, they're actually not Namco Bandai anymore. They're now Bandai Namco.
Oh, really?
That One Piece Unlimited World Red.
World Peace is none of your business.
Ah, well done. One Piece Unlimited World Red will be available in North America on July 8th and in Europe on June 27th. This is, of course, going to be available on the PlayStation 3, Nintendo 3DS, PlayStation Vita, and Wii U.
Interesting. Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds is coming to Western Vitas. It was a 360 game that was available worldwide, but it is now going to be coming to Vitas outside of Japan. There's no release date yet, but those of you who are a fan of the game or are interested in checking it out, and you have a Vita, which is maybe like one person, good for you.
We have two other little bits of news here about Hyrule Warriors. The first is confirmation that the game will have downloadable content.
Nice!
And the second is that Eiji Aonuma-san has gone on the record as saying that Hyrule Warriors is a part of Nintendo's plan to break the Zelda franchise away from its traditions.
Yes! Thank Furore and Din and whoever the other one is.
You jerk.
Naryu!
This is cool, you know, everyone out there probably knows by now, it's well documented. I have a lot of problems with how I feel stagnant the Zelda series has become. So when I see stuff like this, and, you know, that Nintendo is aware that the series is a bit stale, but that they're working actively to sort of break out of that, it's very exciting for me, because I would love to be able to unabashedly love this series again.
Yeah, another little interesting tidbit is that this game is the first time that someone from Team Ninja and Omega Force have worked together.
Oh, that is very exciting. Those are, of course, two teams over at Tecmo Koei. We also have news here that Udon has released, or is in the process of releasing, a Darkstalkers Complete Works art book.
Love it.
This is really cool. The book is going to cost $39.99, and it's just going to be a huge art book it's actually in stores now, which is awesome, encompassing key visuals, character art, concept art, creator commentary, and more. You know, Darkstalkers is one of those series that most of its fans really strongly feel does not get nearly enough love. I am one of those fans. I certainly feel that way. I am going to pick a copy of this book up.
Excellent. So we've talked about Wii Sports Club before, you know, the HD remix of the Wii Sports Sports. There's going to be a packaged version of Wii Sports Club on July 17th in Japan. It will include baseball and boxing, which are also, you know, two of the best ones, aside from tennis. So that'll be ready in July for the release of Wii Sports Club Packaged Edition.
And, you know, that's coming out in July in Japan. In the U.S., there will be an eShop bundle available for download on June 26th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Ooh.
And the retail package will be available on July 25th for $39.99.
Oh, so that's not too far off.
Indeed, and the game will still support the retail, or, I'm sorry, the additional games that they're adding, which you just listed, will also use that sort of weird 24-hour pass that Just Tennis and the other game that's already on there use presently that we've talked about here on the show.
Interesting. Persona 4 Arena Ultra Max is going to include Ken Amada and Koromaru the dog from Persona 3 as a single playable character.
Excellent. We have word here from CyberConnect 2 that they are specifically designing the next iteration in the wildly popular Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm series, this one being Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution. They want to see this game represented at EVO.
Ooh.
So they're trying to make basically like a serious, balanced, competitive fighting game.
Good for them.
Yeah, you know, it's a tall order, but hopefully they're taller.
Dark Souls is apparently going to be remaining fully functional on Games for Windows Live for the foreseeable future, according to Bandai Namco America.
And, you know, that's interesting because we were talking here on the show recently about how, you know, Games for Windows Live was coming down, and a lot of these games that used it have sort of been, had their question, or, I'm sorry, their questions, have had their futures questioned because of, you know, the fact that this service is being phased out. So it's really interesting to see Dark Souls 1 is getting doubled down on. They're not going to patch it out.
Ooh,
they're not
double down.
They're not going to find some other way to implement the online functionality. They're just apparently going to stick with Games for Windows Live for this one game.
Interesting. So the release for the Vita version of Monster Hunter Frontier G has finally been announced. That is August 13th, 2014. If you're on the Vita version, you can play on the same servers as the PS3 version and transfer save data.
Excellent.
Transferring.
You know, in another bit of news on Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, it is going to include DLC, which basically is the entire story mode from the first game.
That's cool.
You know, that's worthwhile because even though Persona 4 Arena is a fighting game, we've talked about it here on the show before, it has a whole story mode that's like super serious that takes place after Persona 4. It's canon, yes. It's a canonical continuation of the Persona 4 storyline. And Persona 4 Arena Ultimax is taking that story even further. Apparently so much so that the creators felt obligated to release DLC storyline mode of the first game in Ultimax so that people who don't have the first game can catch up.
Is that a screenshot of Kanji dressed in like baseball outfit with a baseball bat?
It is a character design that I find attractive.
Yeah.
Playing baseball, yes. We also have here Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King, has been released on mobile in North America.
Cool. It looks good.
It's up for download for iPhone and I believe now Android, although it took a few days for the Android version to hit, for $19.99 in your respective mobile provider's online store.
Ultra Dimension Action Neptunia U will have Famitsu and Dengeki characters playable.
And Ultra Dimension Neptunia U is a spin-off of the Hyperdimension Neptunia series. This one specifically is designed based on the Senran Kagura series, so it's sort of like almost like an action game meets Musou with bouncing breasts.
Yeah, the busty brawler.
Exactly so. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to women's issues in gaming. I mean, literally.
That's literally.
Senran Kagura.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's what it is.
And despite the title having a U in it, it is a Vita title.
Indeed. We finally got confirmation that Guilty Gear Xrd Sign is going to come to North America.
Yeah.
The game will be released on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 this fall. We also have confirmation that players on the PlayStation 3 and players on the PlayStation 4 will be able to play each other online.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah, really a great idea. You know, having your player base split up by platform on a new fighting game is always really tricky. So this cross-platform play is going to be really useful to the fighting
game
community.
So Mario is going to be sporting a Mercedes-Benz in Mario Kart 8 in Japan just for now.
Jingle them keys. Jingle them
keys. Hey, thanks to a collaboration between Nintendo.
Make sure everybody sees.
Wow, Danity Kane is suddenly super relevant again.
Said no one
No,
ever.
Actually they are, but anyway, Mercedes-Benz and Nintendo have collaborated as part of a promotional campaign in Japan. The GLA cart will be DLC, and actually that's available now in Japan. And it looks silly, but super cool. You might have also seen the Go GLA commercial where it starts out as a 8-bit Mercedes-Benz SUV going through World 1-1 of Mario Brothers, and I'm sorry, Super Mario Brothers, being technical, and then like bursting out into the real world. It's really silly and cheesy in the way
that... If you haven't seen it, you need to. Like,
in the way
line.
That many Japanese cartoons are. I mean, commercials.
Phantasy Star Online 2 is now live in Asia. You may recall we talked here about this previously on Game Buoy. This is, of course, the English version that is playable on Southeast Asia servers. The servers in Southeast Asia are being run by Asiasoft, and unfortunately, it is region-blocked by IP, so
that sucks.
Even though it's in English, we can't play it in North America.
Boo!
However, there has been, in advance of E3, a little bit of news about Phantasy Star Online 2. Not too much to go by, unfortunately, but previously, when asked, tweeted about, etc., about this game, Sega has typically responded that, you know, they can't really comment at conventions. The panelists have basically, for Sega, only said, oh, we don't have permission to talk about that here. Now they're responding that the game is delayed, but still in production for Western audiences. And this is a new wrinkle, as in just in the last, like, this weekend. It was brought to my attention by one of the gentlemen over at the Nintendo Fun Club podcast.
Hey!
Right? So, you know, keep your eyes open, and hopefully we'll hear more on that soon.
We have two virtual console news that may excite you. Mega Man Extreme is now available in North America.
Extreme 2!
I'm sorry, Extreme 2 for 3DS.
Do the do.
And for Wii U virtual console is Klonoa, Empire of Dreams. Am I saying that wrong?
No, that's Klonoa is correct.
It's not like quinoa, where you have to like pronounce it right?
No, Klonoa is not like quinoa. However, I do just want to say... you know, we had talked about Mega Man Extreme 2 previously when talking about how Capcom and Nintendo were doing the Mega May promotion for the virtual console. The exciting thing here to me, first off, is that Klonoa Empire of Dreams is not super common on Game Boy Advance, but it's an amazing game. The Klonoa series, of course, originally was born on the PlayStation 2 platform, had a couple games that were really great. There was a Wii remake of the first one, and the Game Boy Advance spinoff, Klonoa Empire of Dreams, is super good. From a gameplay perspective, it basically retains all of the trademarks of the series. Great, great level design. A little bit of, like, puzzly aspect in the platforming. Just a really stupendous game. And I'll be honest, you know, this is an old Namco game. I'm secretly, actually not even secretly, quite openly, hoping that this is a sign we may see Klonoa in some respect in Smash Brothers, since Namco Bandai is working on that with Nintendo.
Awesome. In other for curtain call news, Thunder God Sid, also known as Orlando, am I saying that right?
As far as I know, I mean, I've always said Orlando is
now DLC for Curtain Call in Japan, of course, along with four more songs, Premonition from Final Fantasy VIII, Ovilia's theme from Tactics, Vivi's theme from 9, and Pop-Up Tool from Final Fantasy Fables, Chocobo's Dungeon.
I'm just like, Premonition, wasn't that a Jewel song?
Ah!
We finally have news on the release of Shovel Knight.
Yes!
After months of delays, Yacht Club Games has announced all of the bugs have been worked out, and Nintendo has slotted them for release on 3DS and Wii U on June 26th.
Yes.
It will also be releasing on Steam that day.
The Minish Cap Legend of Zelda, of course, is now available for the Wii U Virtual Console. It looks really great, nice and bright, and you can enjoy the miniature adventures of Little Link on your Wii U.
Yay! And last, for our follow-ups, but certainly not least, in our ever-present love of Way Forward, we just wanted to point out that Way Forward is making a tie-in 3DS game for the next Transformers movie, Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark or something. All I know is that while the PC and console version of the game is yet another third-person shooter, the 3DS game is being developed by Way Forward with their typical focus on sprite work as a tactics RPG.
It's like when they made a Smurfs 2 game.
Well, pretty much, right? Let's make a great game out of a crazy, stupid franchise. So anyway, I'm really excited about this. I love tactics games. And a Transformers tactics game is basically everything I ever wanted.
Well, there's going to be more than meets the eye when it comes to that game.
Girl. All right, I think it's just about time for...
News. 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 Oh my god, news. News, 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 oh my god, news.
And our first news here is word that Harmonix set up a Kickstarter for a new PlayStation 3 and 4 exclusive HD remake slash sequel to their much-loved Amplitude game.
Yes.
Of course, in the time since this was announced and the last time we did our last episode, the Kickstarter has been and gone. It was successful. Harmonix did get a much-needed infusion of cash, and this game is now in production.
Super exciting. Not exciting is that Towns, which was one of the first greenlit games, it was a city management game, is not going to be in development anymore. It was kind of in progress, and they, you know, were updating it as they updated it, but they're not going to do it. So if you paid $15...
Which I did.
Actually, I guess they really didn't update. They promised updates, but...
Yes. I'm pretty mad about this, I have to say. You know, I jumped in on Towns. I'm very optimistic. I really believe in game development and game design and encouraging young developers who are sort of untried. And I want to give them a go. I want to see independent games and indie developers thrive. So I absolutely supported this. I was really excited about Greenlight initially and also about Early Access. I have to say, I'm feeling really burned by this specific instance, because Towns was such a cool game, and they totally had indicated that this game was going to get all of the updates that they had discussed. They totally painted a picture like everything was going good, and then bam, we just got news that, you know, they're pulling the plug here. But, you know, they even effing discussed how, like, oh, well, we're going to probably make a sequel, and that'll have the features that we're missing. Like, fuck you!
Ooh, girl.
Yeah, you know, I try really hard to be positive on this show. I do not want to be some negative Nancy that's all up on, you know, riding that haterade train and being unkind to the games community, and especially to indie developers, whom I really believe in. But in this one case, I'm actually really mad. Like, I'm way madder about this than I was about the Super Retro Squad Kickstarter that failed. Because in this case, you know, there was no indication that anything was wrong up until it was like, LOL, not coming.
Yeah, so unfortunate. Also unfortunate is that Nintendo fell short of the financial projections from January. They ended up reaching 2.72 million shipments for the for the fiscal year ending March 31st. And this is way off of their initial prediction of 9 million units. So for the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2015, they have made a projection of 3.6 million units.
And, you know, that's why this isn't in our doom and gloom section, is because we and many people did remark when Nintendo set this expectation out that they were going to sell 9 million Wii Us, like, everybody was like, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I love you, Nintendo. I love the Wii U, especially this week now that Mario Kart 8 is out. I am just like, game of the forever, console of the forever. But the Wii U was not going to move 9 million units in that period. So I'm really excited to see them now setting expectations that are way more reasonable. You know, they say now that for the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2015, that they're going to move 3.6 million units. That's a reasonable goal that I honestly think they'll exceed. I don't think they're going to move 9 million units, but I think they can do more than 3.6 in the fiscal year that has Mario Kart 8 and Smash Brothers.
Hyrule Warriors.
Bayonetta 2.
I give it up to Hyrule. I'm a Hyrule Warrior.
Well, theoretically, you know, stuff like Yarn Yoshi and X. You know, the Wii U has some stuff in the pipeline now.
Bayonetta
2. I think I just said that.
Well, it bears repeating.
No one said you could touch
Bayonetta 2.
We also have word here.
In news that's not exactly surprising, but has everybody flailing.
Woo!
Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire remakes, or as Nintendo prefers to call them, fresh takes, are heading to the 3DS. This is Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire coming to the 3DS, 2DS family. And they're going to continue to be, you know, the story and the creatures from the Hoenn region. But we do know that there are Mega Evolutions.
Hey, and you know, you probably recall, we've talked about Pokemon X and Y a lot here on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
We love Mega Evolutions here, and the most recent issue of KoroKoro Magazine this week did have all kinds of new Mega Evolutions for this region's Pokemon.
Right, like Mega Marsh Stomp.
Yeah.
Who is the grown-up Mudkip?
Ah, yes, I heard you like Mudkips.
I heard you like Mega Marsh Stomps.
In any event, Kentucky Route Zero Act 3 has finally released, and we have confirmation that Samurai Warriors 4 is going to be coming to the West this fall. The game will be released for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita.
Halo 5 Guardians has been confirmed for a fall 2015 release, according to developer 343 Industries. They describe it as a bigger effort than Halo 4 in terms of the content and the scope, as well as the technology in what's now a brand new and more powerful engine.
That's awesome, man. You know, I'm actually really excited for Halo 5.
Well, you liked Halo 4 quite a bit.
I liked Halo 4 a lot. And, you know, I know that that game was really unpopular with the core fan base of the Halo series. That's probably why I like it, because it's very over-the-top sci-fi, almost like the enemies had, like, a Tron aesthetic with a lot of, like, glowing seams and cool energy weapons. And that's really, that's my bag. Like, I don't get into the military stuff, but you give me sci-fi fuckery, and I'm here for it.
Hey!
We also have news here in other Musou news that Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate is coming to the West. This is a crossover beat-em-up in the typical vein of Musou games, coming out in fall 2014 for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and exclusive to this region, Xbox One. You may be familiar with this game having popped up in the news previously because it has crossover appearances from Sophitia from Soul Calibur, Kasumi from Dead or Alive, and Sterk, whom I often misread as Shrek, from the Atelier series.
Shrek is life, Shrek is love.
In other super exciting news, in Japan, the Wii U Virtual Console is getting Gargoyle's Quest 2.
This article on Silicon Era says, Firebrand is making a comeback in Japan. Hey, Captain Spike, Firebrand is making a comeback in Japan.
Ah, it's finally happening!
You know, I've talked so many times on this show about why that is my favorite series of games. I'm not going to get into it too much here other than to say that I really, 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 really,
really, really, really want to zig a zig,
hope that Gargoyle's Quest 2 for the NES comes to Virtual Console in North America on Wii U very soon.
Yes! So, MapleStory 2 is going to be released worldwide, according to Nexon America. It's been in development since 2010. It entered closed beta in Korea. It will enter closed beta in Korea later this year.
And, you know, this comes hot on the heels of finally a gameplay trailer having a hit for this game about 2 weeks ago. You know, it's actually really beautiful. It's like a 3D game this time. Really cute, keeping with the MapleStory aesthetic. I'm really excited for it. I like Maple a lot, even though I know that by today's standard it's probably awful.
Yeah. And exciting news for Nintendo fans, the mysterious Murasame Castle is finally getting its first Western release. Those of you who are not familiar with the game from the Famicom might be familiar with the Nintendo Land attraction called Takamaru's Ninja Castle. The original Famicom game is described as similar to the first Zelda game, but more fast-paced and with a time limit.
And you may recall that the Nintendo version of the Samurai Warriors 3 game contained a mode inspired by this game and had Takamaru as a playable character.
Cool!
We also have news here that Pushmo World will be releasing on the Wii U worldwide in June.
They're really pushing that out, aren't they?
They really are. It's going to be released the week of June 19th in all regions, as I understand it, for the regional equivalent of $10.
September 4th is the date to mark on your calendars if you were in Japan and want an Xbox One. It'll be 49,980 yen with Kinect, or 39,980 yen without Kinect.
Roughly 500 or 400 US dollars.
Yeah, so pretty equivalent.
Indeed. A price for the Kinect sensor standalone has not been announced. The launch games for Japan are going to be Forza 5, Kinect Sports Rivals, Dead Rising 3, and Rise Son of Rome from their first-party lineup. And Square Enix is going to be releasing Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Thief, Murdered Soul Suspect, and Call of Duty Ghosts.
And I don't know if this is a launch title, because it's not listed as a launch title, but 2014 was apparently bringing D4 Dark Dreams Don't Die from Sweary 65.
Indeed, exactly so. And, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about some, you know, Japanese releases being announced for the Xbox One at E3. So expect to hear some of that tomorrow night when we record for you guys. However, games that we have already had confirmed for Japanese release on the Xbox One is a new project by Mage's studio lead Makoto Asada, who you probably are familiar with for having headed up over at Cave previously, is Mystery F, Curtain Call for the Detectives. This is a remake of Mystery, a visual novel game for PC, PlayStation 2, and PSP. There's also, and you know, this is kind of cool, it's also going to include all of the story and content from Mystery 2 Farewell Counter. So it's going to be like the whole Mystery series in one go.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Also from Mages is a Psycho Pass anime video game adaptation with an original story and new protagonist. I wish I could say more, but I'm not too familiar with Psycho Pass.
Psycho Pass was one of the hot anime last season.
Oh, was it? I bet in Japanese it was like Psycho Passu, which makes it sound like psychopath.
That's literally the intentional play on words.
That's the joke. And also from Mages is Chaos Child, which is part of the Science Adventure visual novel series. It is the fourth game in the series. It'll be in full HD and it'll take place 6 years after the events in Chaos Head Noah.
Excellent. And, you know, former Cave producer Makoto Asada, whom we've been talking about here, has also indicated that in addition to Psycho Pass, Chaos Child, and Mystery F, that they also have three more games in the works for the Xbox One. So Mages they're really coming out in support of the Xbox One, which is cool. They make good games.
Final Fantasy III is now available on the Steam Store. So if you don't own it in another iteration, then that's cool. You can get Steam trading cards and whatnot.
And this is the version of Final Fantasy III that is also available on the 3DS. I'm sorry, on the original DS.
Mm-hmm.
It's available on the PSP. I called it the PCP. Like, I really wanted to call it that. Right?
Mm-mm.
It is super hot up in the SS Game Boy right now. This version is also available on iOS and Android.
Right.
So, yeah, that's very exciting stuff. This was, of course, the first version of Final Fantasy III to ever be released in English. So, it's very exciting to see it finally released on Steam, where it's gonna, you know, be preserved more in the long term.
So, some super cute news that probably we will never get to see this game stateside, or in the West at all, is Taiko Drum Master Don and Katsu's Great Space-Time Adventure, which is basically a monster-catching RPG with drum battles.
That sounds amazing!
Among music such as Pokemon XY anime music, One Piece music, the Castle in the Sky theme, is going to be the Attack on Titan theme. There's also a couple of popular J-pop tunes, like Motai Nightland from Kyari Pamyu Pamyu. Am I saying that
Oh
right?
My gosh. Yeah, you know Kyari Pamyu Pamyu.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Fortune Cookie in Love from AKB48. And Ikenai Taiyo from Orange Range.
I love Orange Range.
And Linda Linda, which is in too many games.
Ah, you probably know Linda Linda from Os Tateke Oendan.
Oh.
Rinda, rinda.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know who it is, but I do know that.
Also, this is, as many games by them do, this is going to include Brave Sword, Braver Soul from Soul Calibur 2. That was even present in the versions of Taikyo no Tetsujin that came to America as a Taiko drum master. It's also going to include Samurai Rocket from Ridge Racer 5.
Ridge Racer!
Night and Day from Ace Combat 2, as well as music from the DS game Mizuiro Blood, and a Monhun 4 medley.
Why can't we get Taiko games?
Yeah, I'm getting really mad. Like, what an incredible track list.
In case you didn't know, Don and Katsu are the adorable Taiko drum mascots.
Yeah. This game is going to be releasing in Japan on June 26th for Nintendo 3DS.
Hey, also coming to the 3DS in July in Japan is a romance adventure game based on The Prince of Tennis 2.
That is amazing.
I make an ecchi game called The Prince of Penis.
Whoa, you probably should, though. I love Tennisu no Oji-sama, so I'll be honest, I'm actually kind of mad I'm not going to get to play this game. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting to the point I might have to import a 3DS.
And I'm sorry, the July issue of Japan's magazine Jump Square announced it. The game itself will be available on November 6th from developer Furyu.
Do you want to talk about a kerfuffle?
Sure.
So, XSEED is going to be publishing the latest Japanese Harvest Moon game in North America. But it's not going to be titled Harvest Moon. The game is now going to be called Story of Seasons and will be published by XSEED Games.
Wait, what?
So, you may recall, XSEED are owned by Marvelous. We've talked about that yes. here on the show. And you know, Marvelous is the developer of the Harvest Moon, the series we know as Harvest Moon in Japan. And so basically, Marvelous has decided to work with their own U.S. publishing arm rather than working with Natsume, who has published this series traditionally in North America for, you know, the last 20 years. So the thing here is that the name Harvest Moon in North America is owned by Natsume.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Story of Seasons is the canonical Harvest Moon continuation by Marvelous. Now, the reason I say this is a kerfuffle is because, you know, that's already pretty dodgy. But after that announcement hit, Natsume announced Harvest Moon The Lost Valley.
What?
Also for 3DS. And so basically, what's happening here is that now Natsume, because they also have development studios that they work with in addition to, you know, being a publisher. They do development themselves and work with other studios. So they're now making their own, like, I don't want to call it a ripoff, but like a clone Harvest Moon, where they're basically making like an unofficial Harvest Moon series game, but calling it Harvest Moon because they own the name.
Ooh, that's almost like the Guitar Hero Rock Band drama.
I mean, you know, to some degree, at least with Guitar Hero Rock Band, you know, Activision did buy the Rockman name, or I'm sorry, the Guitar Hero name. In this instance, it's weird because they're like making a clone to fill the name, despite it not being the game that people are probably thinking they're going to be getting.
That's shady.
In addition to that, we have confirmation from Natsume that they're going to be showing three Nintendo titles at E3 this year.
One of them is Harvest Moon: The Lost Valley.
Exactly so. We know that it's going to be Lost Valley is one of them. We don't know what the other two are. They're also going to be bringing a new real fishing game to Vita.
The Tales of Festival happened in Japan at the end of May, beginning of June, and they announced a upcoming TV special anime for Tales of Zestiria. And
exciting.
It will tie in to the upcoming game. And it'll have music from the band Superfly.
Exciting. I'm not super familiar with Superfly, but cool, I guess.
Super.
Tales of the World Reeve Unitia has gotten its first trailer. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but I don't care. If you're interested in the Tales of the World series, I would definitely recommend you check this trailer out. It was also shown at the Tales Festival 2014. And last but not least, at least from the Tales Festival 2014.
Tails Buoy, not to be confused with Miles Tails Per Hour.
Oh, girl, ain't nobody want Miles Tails Per Hour. Tales of Zestiria is going to have a new ability that will let your main character slay, fuse with various quote-unquote heavenly tribe characters in order to create, like, new fusion versions of your party. This is a system very similar to the fuse system that was present in Breath of Fire 2 on the Super Nintendo, which many gamers loved back in the day. And that's why, even though we typically don't talk a great deal about the Tales series here on Game Buoy, I am really excited for this specific mechanic so much that I will almost certainly buy this game.
Square Enix is going to be bringing Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls Ultimate Evil Edition to Japan. They, of course, brought Diablo 3 over to Japan as a PS3 exclusive. And this is going to be August 21st, which is not too long after the Western release.
Yeah, it's just a couple days after the Western release for consoles. However, there is a difference in that this game is only being released in Japan for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
Right.
Which makes sense. They're not, I mean, you know, what's the Xbox situation over there?
Not released in the end of August.
Well, that's exactly my point. We also have news here of the kind of game we typically don't talk about, but this one looks really cool. This is a social, like, girl fetishization kind of game, but with really cool non-super perverted art. It's called Infection Girl X-Girl Cafe of the Dead. And it looks really cool. It's like a card social game with tactics elements where you basically have to like outfit this, your team of high school girls with gear, card-based gear, in order to RPG tactics fight with zombies.
Yeah. I don't know. It might be Infection Cross Girl. Who knows with the letter X?
Ah, but you're right. In other Japanese game news, the Wii U Virtual Console has gotten its first Nintendo DS game. It's Brain Age!
Cool!
And it's already released in Japan, and for people who download it within the first month of availability up until June 30th, it is a free download.
That's really cool. I am excited that DS games are coming.
I believe in North America, we will be seeing an announcement of that at E3.
Yeah.
Like, that they already have it in Japan, and that it's a free download to me really rings of Reggie or Iwata or whoever's on the Nintendo Digital Direct.
Bill.
Maybe Bill Trinan, yeah. Saying, you know, you can download this game directly to you on your Wii U console after this presentation.
Oh, maybe so.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's gonna happen.
And then you're gonna go do it.
Well, yeah, for sure. With Bill Trinan.
Ooh, hands off. CD Projekt Red has announced that The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is coming on February 24th, 2015. It'll be available in English, Polish, German, French, Russian, Brazilian, Portuguese, and Japanese with full voiceovers, and Arabic, Italian, Spanish, traditional Chinese, Czech, Hungarian, Latin American, Spanish, and Korean subtitles.
That's exciting. I'm actually really excited for this game. I recently got into The Witcher 2 because it was on sale on Steam. And I'm really enjoying it. I didn't like the first Witcher that much, so I didn't think I'd really be into Witcher 2, but it's actually a pretty cool game.
Yes, this will be a PC, Xbox, and PS4 game.
XSEED is going to be bringing Corpse Party to the PC later this year in North America.
That's awesome.
I'm actually really excited. I like Corpse Party a lot. I think it's a really cool little series of games. And we're going to be, again, later this year seeing it on PC. We have very little detail other than it's coming. It's going to have additional voice acting done for North American PC release. And we're going to get it this year.
So, Dekamori Senran Kagura, which is the Senran Kagura rhythm cooking game for Vita, is coming to North America. We, of course, mentioned earlier and on past episodes of Game Buoy that Senran Kagura... Oops, Kagura. Freudian slip. Is the Busty Brawler. This game is going to be called Senran Kagura Bon Appetit. I have to wonder if the appetit, given that it is spelled a certain way, is intentional.
You know, one thing I do want to say... Oh, I follow you. Didn't have to point at your breasts. One thing that I do have to say is that this game specifically is a spin-off of the Senran Kagura series, and it's specifically a rhythm game based around cooking. My understanding is that this game is very tongue-in-cheek, like, pointing out, like, and laughing about tropes of, like, the Japanese, like, cooking anime fetishization that was a thing for a while. So I'm really excited for this. I'm really looking forward to playing it. And since I don't believe I'll be punching girls so hard that their bras come off in it, I'll definitely be supporting this one.
Okay. Dead Rising 3 is...
Oh, one last news bit there. It will, in North America, be a download-only release. It will not be getting a retail release.
Okay. Dead Rising 3 is coming to the PC via Steam globally. Also as a retail title in Europe, interestingly. It'll feature upgraded textures on characters, backgrounds, and other in-game objects. And will support Steam Cloud, Steam Trading Card, and achievements.
You may recall that previously we here on GameBuoy.org have cited Dead Rising 3 as one of the main reasons to own an Xbox One.
Uh-oh.
So this is a little bit of a coup in that regard, although certainly, you know, there's always been a lot of Microsoft / Xbox exclusive games that have still had PC releases. But at this point, we still haven't heard anything about a PS4 release, and I feel like that would have come with this. So it's probably still going to be console exclusive to the Xbox One.
Right.
Either way, if you're not into the Xbox One, but you do want to play this game, I recommend you pick it up on Steam. It is a great iteration of the series, despite everything it had going against it in its run-up to release.
Indeed. So after a torrent of teases, Mortal Kombat X has been officially announced by NetherRealm Studios. You might have remembered the retail leaks for PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, and PC, that it was going to be teased for 2015 release, and now it has been officially announced. It is Mortal Kombat X, not Mortal Kombat 10.
Indeed, and you know, Ed Boon over on his Twitter has teased that the X means something, but we don't know what it is yet. He has specifically also tweeted it is not a 10, it is not a cross, it is an X. And when asked about where this game falls in the series canonical chronology, he has specifically said that he can't explain it in a tweet, but more details will be coming.
X-rated.
I don't think it's going to be X-rated. I think it's probably some kind of crossover between the old Mortal Kombat canon and the new one that is established in Mortal Kombat 9, since Raiden went back in time to stop the events of the first trilogy of Mortal Kombat games from happening.
Come over here. By here, I mean my face.
You know, that voice clip originally for, like, the first, like, 7 Mortal Kombat games was done by Ed Boon.
Really?
Yeah. Which is cool, you know. It's great that he's really involved in that.
You probably want to take this one because it's your game horse, or what do they call that? Wheel horse? Wheelhouse?
Wheelhouse. So, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix is heading to Japan in October with a collector's pack. It's going to be releasing for the PlayStation 3 in Japan on October 2nd. The collector's pack will have Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 remixes, as well as a download code for an anniversary set for Kingdom Hearts Key, which is the online social game, a Blu-ray disc full of Kingdom Hearts music, and an art book. That package will be releasing in Japan for 15,120 yen. But wait, that's not all. There has also been an announcement made for Kingdom Hearts 1.5. Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix, releasing the first week of December in North America and Europe.
Yeah.
With that having been covered, it is now time for...
So, in sad news, the first free-to-play game for Vita was Samurai and Dragons, which was basically a Kingdom Conquest game with a bunch of crossover characters. They had Sonic, they had Bayonetta, Akira from Virtua Fighter, mascots of Sega consoles by the Hatsune Miku artist, so it was, like, very crossover-friendly, but it is unfortunately coming to an end. It's going to end on July 31st after 6 seasons with having 2 years of service under its belt. The reason cited is that Sega is focusing now on Chain Chronicle 5, or Chain Chronicle V, which is a Vita version of their popular smartphone game.
Ew.
Mobile social. in some unfortunate news, Harmonix has laid off 37 of its full-time employees, and the CEO, Alex Rigopoulos, who is also a co-founder of the studio, has moved into a new management role. They are restructuring their organization to bring it into alignment with our current and future product development plans, according to a spokesperson from Harmonix.
You know, I do want to say that, you know, there was that Kickstarter, we talked about it just a little bit ago on this show, for the new Amplitude game. And that Kickstarter got a lot of negative attention. A lot of people felt like Harmonix is too big to do a Kickstarter. Things looked a little dodgy because rather than doing the standard 30 to 35 day funding window, they had done a 2-week funding window. And a lot of people were saying, you know, shenanigans and all that. And Alex Rigopoulos had done a Ask Me Anything on Reddit where he said basically that the reason for the tightened window on their funding goal was that they basically needed to know in 2 weeks what their staff allocation was going to need to look like. And this was before these layoffs were announced. So it's pretty clear here, first off, that these layoffs would have been even worse if this Kickstarter for Amplitude had failed. And second, you know, I mean, it really looks like if that Kickstarter had failed, probably, you know, who is to say how Harmonix would be doing now? Also got news that the currently closed alpha for their game Chroma is coming to an end, and the game is going back to the drawing board.
Oh.
We do not know if this game is ultimately even going to come out and be a thing. You know, I was in this closed beta, or closed alpha. I can't talk about the game, but the NDA did say I could mention that I was in it. And I'm just gonna say, I hope that it comes out. I hope that this game makes it.
Yeah.
So, with all of that having been said, it is time for a feature here on GameBuoy.org. Oh, no, this is not time for that feature. This is time for...
So, Pokken Fighters and Pokken Tournament have been trademarked in Europe. I mean, we haven't heard anything about this, but, I mean, it's just a matter of time. Pokken sounds like Tekken. Bandai Namco is working on the Smash games. It's inevitable that Bandai Namco is going to be making Pokken Fighters and Pokken Tournament some sort of thing.
I don't think that's inevitable, but we have talked...
Pokken Tekken.
We have talked previously about how this same trademark has been filed now in several different countries over the last year.
Pokken Tekken.
I do think something is coming. I think the entire internet thinks something is coming.
And I mean, it makes sense that it would be Bandai Namco.
You know, it does, but at the same time...
Pokken Tekken.
Girl, come on now.
Rima has it.
That word,
Rima has it.
That word, when used with that kanji, is just talk about a fist.
Oh.
Like, it's not, like, Tekken specific.
But Pokken Tekken.
In other news...
Also from Bandai Namco. Oh, wait. I'm just starting out the rumor mill now. Like,
ooh,
we haven't even had any confirmation about anything involving Bandai Namco. So I should be ashamed of myself.
Right? You should be writing for Kotaku. Oh, I'm sorry. Polygon. In any event, Bandai Namco Games has filed trademarks for Galaga Defense,
ooh,
Galaga Wars, and Galaga Bandits. Typically, when we see a group of trademarks like this filed, they have a game, they have some names in mind, and they just don't know which one they're going to go with. So I think more likely than not, we're about to see some kind of, like, Galaga defense game coming. You know, they also, we also saw a trademark from them for Rodea the Sky Warrior. And this was, of course, a re-trademarking. So I would expect to see that game come back as well. Rodea.
Rodea Drive, hey.
I knew you were gonna. Okay, now we're gonna get to a segment that behind the scenes, we have some mixed feelings about. You know, we try to be a more positive show. We try to focus on the good aspects of games journalism. So we are gonna bring you what we are lovingly calling our final Smash or Trash. Very likely, we will have a new segment for you guys. We will continue to spotlight the best that we see of games journalism week in and week out here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org!
But we are going to stop calling attention to the bad articles. We are going to stop, quote-unquote, feeding the beast with your clicks. And, well, let me just tell you, we are going to send this segment out in style with two of the best articles and two of the worst. Let's get to it.
Smash or trash or trash.
Strike a pose. There's nothing to it. Smash. Trash.
This first article here is a U.S. gamer piece called Where Final Fantasy Went Wrong and How Square Enix is Putting It Right. And this is a fairly lengthy interview by Jeremy Parrish talking to Yoshinori Kitase-san about how Kitase-san wants to restore the Final Fantasy series to its former glory.
Oh,
girl. This being Jeremy Parrish, of course, you know, he asks some really great questions. They specifically talk about the reception of Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy XIII, and the Final Fantasy XIII project in its entirety over three games. And there's just a lot of really insightful remarks, and it's just a really cool piece. I highly recommend if you're conducting an interview in games journalism, this to me is more of the model that you want to go for, rather than something that's super clickbaity, but ultimately does not contribute to the ongoing discussion. We then have a piece from Kotaku, surprisingly, written by...
Oh, don't be that way. They've come around.
Well, that's exactly my point. You know, credit where it's due. Jason,
Kotaku of the week!
Jason Schreier really outdid himself here. This is an amazing article.
This was great.
Called Why Game Developers Keep Getting Laid Off. And it's a long, feature that just talks about a whole bunch of different angles about, you know, the mass layoffs that we continue to see. Even, you know, just in this news cycle we've talked about here today, we continue to see game developers being laid off en masse. And, you know, it's a problem. I think most of us agree. But in a lot of ways, nobody really talks about why game development culture has gotten to this point. And hats off to Kotaku for tackling that beast and really discussing it, because this is a great piece, and it's a lot of it is stuff that people need to know about this industry.
Yeah, you know, in a sad ironic twist, they point out that Nintendo never has any layoffs, but just the other day, on Friday, I believe, we didn't talk about this in our doom and gloom, but one of the German offices of Nintendo had 130 people laid off, or actually, you know, I'm not 100% sure if that was all from that office, but it was a Nintendo of Europe layoff.
And something to note there is I don't think they do any development there.
Yeah, but still Nintendo-associated people, or anyone in the industry, getting laid off is sad.
It's absolutely sad. Our hearts and thoughts go out to you guys. We hope that new employment comes quickly. And this piece by Kotaku, man, it's a nail-biter. It really cuts straight to the heart. And if you care about the longevity of this industry, I definitely recommend you check it out. Like,
indeed.
I'm often hesitant when it comes to Kotaku to talk about them too much on the show, give them hits and all that, but credit where it's due. Phenomenal piece. Slaggy, if you'd like to get us started with this first trash.
Yes, this is an opinion piece over on Polygon called As Nintendo Grows Desperate, The Chances Your Dreams Will Come True Increase. And it basically talks about that even though Mario Kart 8 sales numbers are fantastic, that it's going to most certainly cause systems to move, it's going to likely be the worst-selling game in the existence of the series. And then saying, oh, well, you know, Watch Dogs just broke a bunch of records. You know, the PC market is doing well. There is the Xbox family, the PlayStation family that are both doing well. And basically, what this author said is that all that they should do is take all the Mario games that they have, like Mario 64, make HD high-res remakes of them, and put them on every platform. So basically, his solution is that, oh, why don't we just stop making Nintendo be a hardware developer exclusively?
Yeah, and you know, something that, I know it's not my job to write these pieces, I ain't getting paid for this, although this author is. My problem here is that this is an entire article on a well-known publication for gaming news that is literally just writing a huge piece about basically that, oh, hey, Nintendo's finally doing so bad, maybe they'll go third party. Just talking about how Nintendo is wasting their time doing hardware, and they're a subpar hardware developer. Like, bitch, you were just talking about how amazing Mario Kart 8 is. It is amazing. I feel like Mario Kart 8 looks as next-gen as something like Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, it feels great, the attention to detail and all the stuff going on, it's like a living, breathing world. Like, no, Mario Kart 8 feels next-gen as fuck. I would never say, like, after playing that game, I couldn't possibly say that Nintendo, on a hardware level, failed with the Wii U.
And at the end of the day, do we really need another Nintendo's Failing article out there?
Well, that's what kills me about it, is outside of the fact that it's just doomsaying Nintendo, which already I'm super sensitive to, like, they're using their piece to further literally, an anti-Nintendo agenda. And, you know, this whole effing piece basically boils down to, I want to play Mario games, not on Mario.
Imagine how Mario Galaxy 2 would feel on a PS4 controller, and how amazing it would look.
Like, I'm sorry, this piece is just gross. I really wish...
There's a reason that it says the news and opinions expressed in this article are not representative of Polygon as a whole, because, hello.
Yeah, it's gross. This piece, honestly, I don't think should exist. Like, this is literally like some GameFAQs forum post.
Uh-oh!
Or like someone's Angel Fire site. Like,
ooh.
Console wars, I don't like Nintendo, so I want to play Nintendo games but not support their hardware.
Ooh.
I am not here for it. I think it is embarrassing that this article was written and published. If you are writing these kinds of pieces, take a step back and ask yourself, are you writing about news, or are you writing 17-year-old Sega versus Nintendo fan fiction?
And I just gotta say, we are not naming who wrote this article, but obviously you could see it. And it's just really unfortunate that this particular...
Don't feed the beast. Don't...
That this particular person once was featured on many Smashes, and also this person got in a Twitter argument with one of our well-respected indie podcasting
One of our Hunty Bunch.
Yeah.
That's the way we became the Hunty Bunch. Da-da-da-da.
All right, well, in our last iteration of
Trash,
we have an article that's kind of difficult to tell you the title of, because it's currently called Redacted, Conflicting Reports on the State of the Last Guardian, but the URL is ign.com/articles/2014/6/8, /The Last Guardian Cancelled.
And this story was originally published straight up as... The Last Guardian has been canceled. The word officially was used, although the word report was also used, and report in news does often mean that it's based on sort of word of mouth rather than any official source. But basically, they had posted a story saying that, according to IGN Germany or something, that they were told that this game was no longer going to be made, that the game was canceled.
IGN Russia.
Russia. Germany.
Apparently, Sony Russia had been talking to journalism, so, uh-oh.
Well, in any event, we have now had official confirmation via Scott Hrode on his Twitter, and, you know, he is a higher-up at Sony's worldwide, like, games publishing division. His official title escapes me at the moment, unfortunately, but he has flat out said that he has been laughing with other people at Sony about this specific rumor, and outright states, The Last Guardian has not been canceled.
I think he was laughing with Yoshida-san.
Yeah, that is it. That is it.
I mean, to IGN's credit, they did update, but isn't this what happened when Kotaku said that Final Fantasy Versus 13 was canceled?
Well, you know, and that's an interesting thing, because the game wasn't canceled. It was rebranded, and, you know, maybe Last Guardian has been rebranded, but that certainly doesn't warrant this kind of article, And Scott Rode, just for the record, is the PlayStation Software Product Development Head for Sony Worldwide Studios America. And he has stated, you know, outright, the game has not been canceled. And, you know, it's really interesting to see all of this coming out, because IGN has really, really sort of ham-fistedly updated this repeatedly, but the original article is still up. And originally, when they first redacted it, it still said, like, their headline was still, you know, report Last Guardian may be canceled. Ignoring the fact that the official word Sony gave, it wasn't, we do not comment on rumors or speculation. It wasn't, oh, we're not at liberty to talk. It was flat out, this game is not canceled.
Mm-mm.
So that's, you know, that's sloppy. It doesn't reflect the reality of what is being said by Sony, like the straight up reality. It feels to me like either they were clickbaiting based on a common fear that a lot of gamers have, which is that this game is being canceled,
mm-hmm.
or some writer over at IGN is, you know, in that pit of believing the game was canceled and is just spreading his opinion as news, which is gross.
Like, I'm sorry, this is not your Blogspot or your LiveJournal where you're just like, oh.
This ain't Angel Fire, baby.
Like, I'm sorry, like, even Twitter is a more reliable news source than some of these sites. And that's true for, like, non-gaming journalism as well.
Yeah, well, that's something that's really been discussed over the last couple of years, isn't it? That, you know, social media is really beginning to show the cracks in journalism, and games journalism in particular, because that's what we're talking about here.
I mean, we might be getting to the point where we have to report a Smash tweet.
Yeah, well, I mean, we basically have today. We've been talking about all of Sakurai-san's Miiverse posts. And in any event, Slagkick, let's talk about what's up. Let's talk about
I said, hey, what's going on?
What you playing? Oh my god, what you playing? Captain Spike, what you playing?
So I'm going to talk about four games here real quick. I'm going to knock the first two off real fast. I have been playing a great deal of World of Warcraft and Hearthstone.
Yes.
And, you know, like I've talked about in previous weeks, I'm still paying month to month. I could drop out at any time, but I haven't yet. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still really enjoying, you know, leveling new characters, being back in that world. For Hearthstone, I'm really enjoying the mechanics. It's free to play. I haven't bought any packs of cards yet, but I feel like that's probably gonna not be true for very much longer.
Now, I'm gonna jump in because I've also been playing World of Warcraft and Hearthstone. Like, I really feel like the burnout that I had when I left World of Warcraft prior, you know, this happens to everybody, but I really feel like I enjoy playing it again. I'm leveling some other characters now and having a good time. And I also started playing Hearthstone. It was kind of tricky at first, but I've really gotten used to it now, having fun developing my decks and stuff, and really enjoying, you know, the fact that I can have this fun experience as a free-to-play game.
That's
looking
awesome.
Forward to the next Rammus expansion.
Yeah, me too. And then the other two games I want to talk about, first off, is Kirby Triple Deluxe for 3DS. This is, of course, the next mainline Kirby game, and, you know, I have to say, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I don't want to talk about spoilers. It is a fairly short game. It has some endgame stuff where, like, you get to run through the game as King Dedede after beating it as Kirby, and he has, you know, different skills, obviously. He has his hammer and stuff.
Hammer is his penis.
There's some super cool minigames. Like, there's a rhythm minigame with, like, Kirby music. There's a Smash Brothers style, one-on-four, fighting game that is, it literally plays like Smash Brothers Lite. It's just super well designed. It's super cool. You pick which Kirby you're using at the beginning of it. So it's like, oh, I'm playing Sword Kirby. You could be playing Parasol Kirby. And it's like playing real Smash Brothers just with Sword Kirby and Parasol Kirby. The main game has some of the best level designs I've seen in the series. The sort of collect-a-thon element of, like, finding all the hidden items does remain. You know, this has been a long-standing tradition in the series for as long as I can remember at this point. And just from a mechanics level, a design level, The game is a little easy, but aside from that, I think it's great fun. If you've ever liked a Kirby game, you will almost certainly love this game.
Yeah, you know, I haven't picked it up yet, but I was looking at some of the levels, and it looks like some of the best level design in any Kirby game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would not hesitate to call it the best game of the Kirby franchise.
That's awesome. And you know, a little interesting tidbit is that the Japanese box art features Angry Kirby.
Oh!
Yeah, so they did not have a cute Kirby that they altered to make angry in the U.S., which is, you know, the long-running meme, which is not even a meme. It's, like, actually a thing that
happens. Nintendo has discussed that. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk about the big Wii U release last week of Mario Kart 8.
Yes!
Yeah. So, I don't know what I can say about Mario Kart 8 that hasn't already been said. Probably if you're in touch with games news, you have already heard this. Mario Kart 8 is an absolute triumph on basically every level. I could sum up my entire problems with one legitimate complaint. The battle mode isn't as cool as the battle mode has been in previous iterations of the series. I still think it's cool. Instead of, you know, having like a small arena, you're now on a racetrack. You can go in reverse or forward, and you basically hunt down other bitches on a racetrack, rather than in a specifically designed arena. It's a little lame. Other than that, it has by far the best music, the best graphics, the best control, the best designed tracks, an amazing assortment of tracks from previous games. This, to me, again, much like Kirby Triple Deluxe, I feel like Mario Kart 8 is the pinnacle of the Mario Kart series.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It really feels really well balanced. The online play is on point.
Yeah, great online functionality.
I mean, I can't stop playing. Like, I finally feel like they've put out a game that's better than Double Dash. Double Dash for me was the pinnacle for a while.
Yeah.
Like 10 years.
I feel the exact same way. I can't get enough of Kart 8. As soon as I'm done recording this episode, well, I have to edit it, but once I'm done editing this episode, I'm gonna go play more Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
If you don't have me friended on the Wii U, I am Spike Point over there.
I am Slackkick.
And definitely add me. I basically play a ton of Mario Kart online. That's been my week in gaming.
And you know, with that, talking about our Nintendo Network IDs, it's a great time to jump into our social links.
Ooh, girl.
Over on our social media, we like to ask you a question of the week. But before we do that, we'd always like to remind you that you can always tweet us at GameBuoy.org, D-O-T-O-R-G.
GameBuoy.org, D-O-T-O-R-G.
Anytime that you want to say hi, or if you're answering old questions of the week, if you're a backlog Betty.
And, you know, I do want to say specifically this week, if you're at home or at work or wherever, I don't care about your location, watching the E3 press conferences this week, specifically, you know, we have, tomorrow is Monday, we have Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and Sony. Tuesday, we have Nintendo and Konami. If after watching these, you want to tweet us over at GameBuoy.org.
At GameBuoy.org.
That is, of course, .org, spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
That is, of course, .org, spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
We would definitely love to hear what you have to say about all of these press events and whatever games we do or don't hear about. Slaggy, why don't you finish up with your spiel about the social links?
Yes. So our question of the week is, this week we're back to lead you up to E3. What are you hoping to see come out of the expo this week? Facebook bonus question was, which of this week's conferences are you most excited for? Monday has Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and Sony. Tuesday is Nintendo and apparently Konami.
Yeah, we didn't find out about the Konami one until literally an hour ago.
Oops, poops.
In our time zone, it's apparently happening Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. So, like, I don't even know.
So we'll start out with our Facebook. We got a couple people over on our Facebook answering the question.
Where my people at?
Where my people at? Apparently on the Facebooks and the Twitters. So Dominique N. from California said, I am excited for crying and disappointment.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
Wow. And Renee A. from the Killer Queens from Out of Space podcast.
Man, I wish they had a jazzy sci-fi theme in the style of Queen Flash Gordon.
Ah, love it. said, besides more topless and almost bottomless booth studs, wait, which E3 has he been attending?
I want my money back.
I really want to hear more information about Kingdom Hearts 2.5 HD Remix and Kingdom Hearts 3 and Persona Q.
We did get a new Kingdom Hearts 3 teaser this week.
Hey, hey.
We didn't talk about it too much here on the show because it was literally people talking over like one frame of art for 30 seconds. Nothing really new was said, just hinting at Birth by Sleep stuff being in Kingdom Hearts 3. Get back to Renee.
The conference I'm most looking forward to is Nintendo, then Sony, then Ubisoft, and then Microsoft. Oh, and topless and almost bottomless booth studs. Like, seriously, are there booth studs, or are he just trolling?
In the year that I went to E3, there were not booth studs. I demand a refund.
Right? We have one more Facebook response, but I would like to save that for the end because of its epicness.
Save it, save it, save it.
Over on the Google Plus, we got an answer from Colin M., who is our friend from the Nerd Podcast with a G.
We heart you. At least I do.
I do too. He said that Shenmue 3. But realistically, I would like to see a bigger commitment from Microsoft on indie titles for the X-Bone. I would also like to see another new original IP from Nintendo that's not another minigame collection. And the Earthbound Trilogy for 3DS Virtual Console. Interesting. And over on Facebook, he answered our bonus question. Microsoft is what he's looking forward to the most because that's his main platform. Over on the Twatiers, we asked the same question and we got a couple of responses. Some of them are cute and snarky. At Death said, games, lots of them. Nintendog said, your mom. But some Zelda or Metroid teasing would be nice too. Maybe a nice JRPG for Wii U as well.
Nice.
Fix Your Face, a.k.a. Jeremy from Koopa Club podcast, said release dates for X and Bayo 2 that are still within 2014. Metroid, anything, Mario Galaxy 3, or even an HD collection. Oh, here we go. Clerical Errors, Renee, said topless booth studs. So I guess maybe I should have read the tweet first. But said seriously more info on HD 2.5 Remix and Kingdom Hearts 3. You Mean Games over on Twitter said, I know it's too much to ask for, but I'm hoping for a no way moment. Something like, Final Fantasy XV is available now!
No way!
Unfortunately, I feel like Square Enix is the last company that would do that, but I mean, that would be quite a shock. I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo did something directly to you right after this conference.
I've even said this episode, man, I believe that's gonna happen.
Atari Barbie, also known as Ian from Koopa Club, said Majora's Mask 3DS and the recently rumored Lightning Collection. I want that shit to be so real. That was my inflection added to it. And last but certainly not least, our good friend Dominique gave us her E3 2014 report card with her predictions. I'm going to start with Microsoft. Shelved Kinect, but trying to make it seem important. TV, 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 TV. Mountain Dew and Dorito Pope. Call of Duty. Exclusives, actually, on PC. Ooh, that's shady and rings true.
Burn and accurate.
Smarts games. And it's fucking nothing. For EA, her predictions are Origin garbage. Casual garbage. Battlefield leak triage.
Just keep going.
Battlefront, but it's shit. Mass Effect 4, but it's shit. Sims 4 DLC cash cow. Mirror's Edge, but it's shit.
Fuck you. I like you a lot, Dominique, but in this one case,
no, but
I am very
you know they
pro.
Were like rebooting it, right? So
yeah, but I think that is the one game that being rebooted into an open world could be amazing. Could you imagine being in an open world on street level as just a random girl, and you have a mission, it's like get into this building on the 47th floor and steal a package, and you have to open world and getting into an actual, like, 47-story tall building, get in and get out without getting caught by the feds or whatever? That would be a great gameplay experience.
Okay, but we're talking about E3 predictions from Dominique. And her last prediction for EA is, LOL, what is new IP? We forgot. From Ubisoft, we have Tom Clancy Jerks in Your Eye. Watchdog Repairs disguised as new content / DLC. Hype, hype, hype. Broken Game and blames fanbase for the hype. Your yearly dose of Ass Creed. Trailers That Lie. Ridic Show Antics. And Division.
Right? The Division has been delayed. Like, we talked about that, so I don't want to get it too into it. But, man, like, they're probably going to show it again this year the same way they did last year. Because it's still just as far off.
Ah, you're right. For Sony, we have the Oculus rip-off Innovation.
Ooh, Project Morpheus.
Multi-platform exclusives.
Fuck.
Vita is still relevant?
Question mark.
Tons of lies. PS4 to Vita gimmicks. Canceled titles ignored. My sales. And Persona 5 saves E3.
Ah, but I mean, yeah, if they show Persona 5 in any meaningful way, it will save E3.
Konami. MGS trailer hype and lies.
Aw, poor Metal Gear Solid.
Fucking nothing. We will never get their god-tier Japanese rhythm games in based USA Shitlandia. LOL on you. And for Nintendo, we have My Family Games and Me Shit, Smash Brothers reveal hype, unprecedented shit antics, Zelda, Zelda, Zelda rehash.
Ah, woman after my own heart.
Vitality Sensor. My Star Fox. Pokemon something, maybe. And Bayo 2 Casual Family Edition.
Ah! And, you know, I do want to say, in regard to that, something I meant to mention earlier while we were still doing Smash Buoy. Because we got the reveal of Ike, like, 2 weeks before E3, I do feel like we're going to get more Smash reveals. I think if they didn't have any Smash reveals for E3, they would have saved Ike for that.
Right.
So that, to me, is basically evidence we are not done with this motherfucking hype train.
Hi, hey. And for other, she said, Witcher 3!
Yes!
And under comments said, crying is doesn't mean you're weak.
Aww. Well, we'll see how she did on her predictions.
Yeah, are you gonna grade your report card?
I feel like she probably will.
Yeah, so thank you for spending 45 minutes and breaking Microsoft Paint in the process to bring us your E3 predictions.
Isn't that an oxymoron? I think Microsoft Paint is already broken.
Oh, they added, like, crayon paintbrushes and stuff, and watercolor-looking paintbrushes. It's almost like Photoshop now.
With that having been said, unless you have any more social links, it's time to begin our exit lewd.
We hope you enjoyed your stay. Uh-oh, we're going to get a cease and desist from the killers now.
You want to give out your solicitations, or shall I steal them and you'll get bitchy with me?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want...
We're playing that game this year, bitch!
We're playing that game this year, bitch! So if you'd like to interact with us, we like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitters. We thrive and live on your iTunes ratings, reviews, and subscriptions. We like to tumble with you on Tumblr. We like when you plus one us on Google. And, of course, we fucking love Twitter.
We fucking love Twitter. Spikes, at GameBuoy.org.
At GameBuoy, D-O-T-O-R-G. At symbol, GameBuoy.org.
What he just said, you can reach me personally at
Spike Point. And I'm over at Slackkick. Oh, you bitch.
Of course, you can email us over at our home base over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Email address mailbuoy@GameBuoy.org.
mailbuoy@GameBuoy.org. mailbuoy@GameBuoy.org.
mailbuoy@GameBuoy.org.
mailbuoy@GameBuoy.org.
So I'm going to... Please stop. I'm going to do my shout-outs. As ever and always, we would direct you to our friends over at Koopa Club. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about gaming and Nintendo with an LGBT twist. As well as that, of course, please check out VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. There, as ever and always, the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I also want to shout out to the Nintendo Fun Club podcast, who
hey.
I referenced earlier in this episode, a podcast about Nintendo, platformers, positivity, and pop punk.
Aw, I love it!
As ever and always, of course, I'd be remiss not to mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues.
And apparently they make you slap your boobies.
Ooh, slapper. I also, of course, must mention our seasonal RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, Reading is Fundamental, where Slag Kick, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, Delvin from VG Realness, and myself dish all the tea on the current season of Drag Race. We are now off-season. I don't expect there will be a lot of content on that feed for a few months, but hopefully when the show comes back, I'll be able to convince Slag Kick to run that show again.
Yes, and hello to any librarian listeners out there.
I also need to mention the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. And last, but definitely not least, the X Nation podcast over on culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants.
So I'm going to plug my ears while you transfer over to me, because you do this really loudly.
I want to take you to a game bar!
Game Bar, the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. They're basically the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and part of the Hunty Bunch. I always want to shout out to our boys and girls over at the Nerdgasm Network, the wildest shock shock video game radio show that you'll ever come across. It's a bag of hot dicks coming to you live over at the Nerdgasm Network, along with the weekly Beergasm, bi-weekly Beergasm. There is Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. Video Game Outsiders brings you the video gaming from the average player's perspective. The Nerd Podcast is Nerd with a G, of course. Pop Culture Rants from a gay nerd perspective. And last and certainly not least is La Palanca Podcast, a podcast por y para gay gamers, Latino Americanos, en Español. Me gusto mucho.
I love it.
As ever and always, we're pouring out a 40, then we might want to sip it up because it's so hot out here.
Ooh, girl.
For Zelda Reorchestrated. It's ironic that we have Zelda music as our theme, and you don't really like Zelda that much.
It is. But, you know, it does have to be said. Sorry.
Both of our themes from the beginning have been from the good Zelda, which was Wind Waker.
Right. We love you guys so much that we are recording here. It is over 100 degrees in the SS Game Buoy right now. We're in the Bay Area. Like, it's supposed to be like 70 degrees all the time. But we love you so much, we had to get this out to you.
And we'll be here all week, folks.
We'll be here all week. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us as much as we've enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Have an amazing day. Keep thinking. Keep gaming.
And I'm going to have a popsicle.
And until next time, you'll say Atsume Burusu. Really nothing? It means Mishmash Blues. It was an episode title of Cowboy Bebop. The joke is that this was a Mishmash episode.
But
we turned it out because we fucking love our
fans. I watched it dubbed.
Get the fuck out.
Cowboy Bebop was not that bad of a dub.
Bitch, how can you say that? Well, okay, actually, I kind of agree.
Because I watched it and it was okay. Trigon was a decent dub. Neon Genesis Evangelion was a good dub. Escaflowne was not a good dub.
That's a wrap. Mics are hot.
Jesus be a snowflake or central air. Well, I need a chillo for my breasticles.
I don't know if I can use that, but holy shit.
I am okay with you.
On 5, 4, 3. I just totally lost the name of the... Ah, no!
Mr. Eat. And some exciting news for some... Fuck. News, oh my god, news. Oh hell no. Every day's great at your June 8th.
Chip chop, chip chop, chip chop.